And then I suddenly realised how important it was to say God is good all the time. Because we sometimes, how have you been around, you know, when you've organised a big event and the weather's fantastic and somebody says, oh, look, it stopped raining. God is good. And if we're not careful, we associate this phrase, God is good, with things that work well for us. But actually, how many people say with the same enthusiasm, oh, I've just had a bit of bad news. God is good. Now, you wouldn't say it like that, I know. But the point is, whether the news is good or bad, God is good all the time. So I've repented and relented, and I am now happy to hear it said and to say it myself, because it is so important, because you see, so many people's image of God actually is, well, it's the big questions, you know. Why does God allow riots? Why does God allow tsunamis? Now, I'm not going to answer those questions this morning, but I'm going to provoke a few questions for us, because we're in this season of prayer as a church very deliberately moving somewhere. We began with what Matthew says, that we should, when we're praying on it, Jesus said to his disciples, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, take yourselves off somewhere quiet, on your own, and that will be the place where without distraction we'll be able to meet with God. And so we gave our first week that kind of attention. We've had Janet's notes to help us through the whole period, but particularly during that first week when we were on our own, there was that season. Now then the second week, each morning, and although we weren't necessarily all together, I'm guessing a lot of people did their morning praying on their own, but we were praying at the beginning of each day, realising that there's something actually quite important to start your day with the sense that God is around. Now, I'm not saying it's essential or vital. I don't go along with these people who halfway through a day something goes wrong and they say, whoops, I forgot to pray first thing. I don't think that God's like that. But I do think there's something beneficial if you start your day reminding yourself that you're in God's hands. A safe place to start. And then this last week we have been meeting in the evenings, 7 till 8 in the evenings. Towards the end of our day we've been able to say, that was a good day, God. And we've been able to ask God for other things. And we quite deliberately next week going out into the places where you and I live. So there are some lists you were given this morning as to where we're going. There is actually a sign-up sheet on the table over there. If you could look at one or two of these and say, yeah, I'm definitely going to be a part of that one, sign up. It would just help the folk who are hosting them to know not to go before you get there. And the point of this, I believe, as we walk the streets around these areas, we are actually going to hear things from God. That's the point of it. Don't just walk round and chat, and don't even just walk round and bless. Take a bit of time, and as you go past, ask God to give you, I suppose I would call it a word of knowledge, as you pass a house, that there's something you should be praying about a particular house. You'll probably never know whether you're right or not. You might. You may never know. But that doesn't alter the fact that God wants to pull us out beyond where we've ever been in our prayers. Let me read you a few scriptures here. This is the first one I'm reading from 1 John chapter 5, just verses 14 and 15. Listen to this. And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. It's the New Living Translation version of those two verses. I'll read you the NIV as well. I'm not going to do this on all of them, but I'm doing this on this one. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. And I ask you the question, so is that true? Is it true? Now, you daren't say it's not because it's in the Bible. But actually, if you're honest, you listen to it and you think, don't always feel like that to me. So let me read you another one. This one is John 14. Jesus said, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Is it true? You can't say it's not. But you're also thinking, well, that's one of those mysterious verses that somebody ought to be able to explain, but I can't. Do you agree? No, there are certain verses we don't read because they're awkward and difficult. These verses we like to read, but we read them quickly in the context of something else, because if we pause for a moment, we think, yeah, but it doesn't seem like that to me. Here's another one. This is Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 and 22. Then Jesus told them, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. Is it true? Any of you tossed any mountains into the sea recently? Now, I know it was probably a euphemism. He probably wasn't thinking of literal mountains moving. But we're left with a question, aren't we? Now then, you see, if these statements are true, and nobody in this room is going to say they're not, at least I don't think they are, I find myself in this season of prayer asking, why does it seem that there are so many prayers that do not seem to be answered in the way we expect? See, I think it's important that we're real. You see, if I stand here triumphalistically declaring those verses but don't address the fact that it doesn't always feel that way, you can look at me and say, yes, but come on, Graham. And particularly people, not you, who've already committed themselves to Jesus, but people around us are saying, when they hear such statements, they say, well, it doesn't work for you, does it? Now, there are a few answers around to cover this. For example, there are phrases in each of those scriptures I read that can be used as a slight cop-out. For instance, the first one included the phrase asking anything that pleases him. So that means if you're asking God for something and by some chance it doesn't please God, you're not to expect the answer. Okay? The only snag is some of the things I ask God for, I'm utterly confident please him. And I still haven't always seen the answer as I expected it. So for me, that's not good enough. The second one had the phrase, ask for anything in my name. So I'm thinking, okay, so I must have asked it not in his name, must I? Now, what does ask in my name mean? Well, the whole phrase name, when you're talking biblically, name means everything there is about God. So when you ask something in his name, you're asking it in line with everything that he is, with all his purposes, with all his intentions, with all his nature. And it is true, is it not, that sometimes we won't get in line with that. And actually, I also feel that there are times when we pray in his name, and by that we mean with his authority. Because I'm sure that's right. I mean, Jesus says to you and me, you can, in my authority, you can pray. Let's face it, when we ask for healing, we always are praying in the authority of Jesus Christ and his cross and resurrection. We are not praying because we're a bit special. And the third one said, if you have faith. Now, there's a good outcatcher, isn't there? Because most of us can look and say, well, that must be the problem then. I haven't got enough faith. But I don't know about you. Are you satisfied with that? You're allowed to say yes, Graham. Are you satisfied? Come on, come on. Tell me. Are you satisfied with those cop-outs? You're not, are you? We've still got a problem, haven't we? You'll be pleased to know I haven't got all the answers. Because you see, if we're not careful, we read those three things and it's almost as though we need a formula. I have met some people who think you've got to get the formula right. And if you get the formula right, you will see the miracles. But the evidence isn't very strong. Because God never works that way, does he? I referred to a book, Too Busy Not to Pray, by Bill Hybels. Now, Bill Hybels leads, one of the biggest churches in the world or a series of big churches in the world. And he waited for a long time before he wrote that book. It's a very helpful book. And he has taken somebody else's helpful summary that just might help us along the track. He says this: if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. And if the quest is right and the timing is right and you are right, God says go. Okay, just run through those again. If the request is wrong, God says no. Now that's fair enough, isn't it? I mean, there was the time when James and John said to Jesus, look, this village haven't treated us very well. Shall we call down fire on them and burn the lot up? Now, they must have been reading too much Old Testament, because every so often it does seem to have happened like that in the Old Testament. But Jesus was pretty clear this was not appropriate, so the answer there was no. That was a wrong request. Actually, sometimes God says no because you've asked him for something that's not in your interest, but you don't realise that. Anybody who's ever been a parent knows perfectly well that we have to offer the answer no quite often to our kids. And they never understand why. And they pester us and sometimes they beat us. But we will know things about the future. We will know about the consequences and therefore we'll say no. God, therefore, will sometimes say no to something that looks as though it's fine, but actually it's not in my best interest. And sometimes, even though there's a good answer, God has a better one. We know that. So there's part of the wrong stuff. And of course, there's the wrong thinking. A request is more about bringing glory to me than to God. I think that's probably an important one. So let me, there's my four things again. If the request is wrong, God says no. You'll understand that one. That's not a problem, is it? If the timing is wrong, God says slow. Now, there are all sorts of circumstances where that might happen. I believe it's probably fair to say that sometimes God is testing our faith. Testing, not in the sense of trying to catch us out, but testing it to prove how good it is. That's what testing usually means in the Bible. So if God holds back on us, sometimes it's almost as though we can't find him. It is as though he is testing, he was growing, he is strengthening our faith. So sometimes the timing being wrong is simply God wants to draw us on further into something beyond where we've been. Sometimes there are other things he wants to achieve before his final answer. I've definitely read stories of people getting healed where their whole family got more and more involved in this healing, so that when the miracle came, a whole family turned to Christ. And so you could argue that's a justifiable timing wait issue. And we may never see why there's a delay. The Bible says, God declares, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Okay, now that's a wonderful coverall, but actually it is true. There are all sorts of things that God knows and thinks that you and I will never understand, and he doesn't make them known to us. And actually, sometimes, again, God may bring something even greater out by delaying the process. Okay? So there's wrong timing. Now then there's wrong me. Sometimes, you see, there may be something about me that actually means God is not, I'm not getting through to God. It's like I have created a barrier between me and God. Sin can do that. There are times when we have deliberately decided to behave in a particular way, and God does not want that. And sometimes that has to change before we're going to see the answer to prayer. And sometimes it is that God is working on me to produce more. I think that one happens a lot, personally. I can see the evidence of that. I'm not looking for cop-outs when I'm praying for things, but sometimes I'm thinking, I can see actually God's really looking to go further with me on this one. So there's those incomplete ones. Now, to be honest, that doesn't solve all my problems or answer all my questions. And I'm sure you agree with me, don't you? You'd like me to come up with a real clear reason why we can believe those statements, and if they're not working, it's our fault. You'd like that, wouldn't you? I knew you would, Corey. The trouble is, greater than I have had a go at this for years and nobody's come up with the answer yet. So wouldn't you be a bit surprised if Graham Bell on Sunday the 25th of September 2011 suddenly saw it and said, this is where it happens, folks. Do it this way, it'll all work. You'd be a bit surprised, wouldn't you? I'd be mightily shocked. It would be great, but I honestly, you know, I haven't got that high opinion of myself. In fact, often I haven't got a very high opinion of myself at all. But however high opinion I have, I'm never going to go that high. So, what are we going to do about it? Well, I haven't got complete answers, but I'm just going to share with you where I'm going with it to see if I can find something further. And if we go together, we just might discover something. We'll probably never write a book about it because I think that's dangerous, but we just might discover something. There are two things I want to suggest. This is by no means a complete answer. And some of it comes out of what I've been reading recently. Some of it comes out of how I tussle myself with, have I seen the answers or not? And some of those first things I've declared to you are definitely part of the answer. There's no question about that. But they don't provide for me a whole answer. Two things I want to suggest. First of all, I just want to go back for a minute to that point where when the disciples said to Jesus, teach us how to pray, there must be a clue in there. You'd be a bit foolish if you didn't look at what Jesus said to his disciples when they said, teach us how to pray. Now, he gave them what we've called the Lord's Prayer for centuries. And I'm quite certain he didn't mean, if you just recite this prayer every day, all will be well. I hope not, because we stopped doing it most of the time. But I'm quite confident that was not it. But there are some really strong pointers. And the one at the very beginning, I've noticed, is really important. You see, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, I note he started with a new way of recognizing what God was like. He started, Our Father. Now, it's so natural to us. When we pray, we often refer to Father God, don't we? But do you realize that that would never have been the case in the Old Testament or prior to Jesus? It would almost have been presumptuous to call God your father, except in the sense that he was the source of everything. But Jesus said you can start by praying Our Father. Now, as soon as you do that and you make sure that you don't let the word father get limited by particular images of father you've got, because some of us have a great image of father, some of us have no image of father, and some of us had a bad image of father. So we've got to be making sure it's the right father we're looking at. But if we start our prayers with Our Father, we're going down a track somewhere, because we immediately begin to think, now I'm talking to somebody who really cares about me, who wants to give the best to me, who wants to help me down the tracks, who I'm very special to. I think that's a great place to start. But he then went on, which art in heaven. So it's recognizing that this is a heavenly Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And there's something about recognizing the holiness of God, the greatness, the righteousness, the purity of God, that will help us in our prayers and focus us, because prayers have to be focused on him rather than our outcomes, what's going to work for me. So I just think there's something there. That's one pointer. I just want you to keep that in your minds, because I'm not going to explain everything. I want you to just go away with some thoughts and think, now, how could this affect me? Here's my second one. The psalmist said on more than one occasion, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. One book I was reading during these last few weeks said that the snag with some of our prayers is they start off, and what we're actually doing, we're trying to find God with our prayers. So we offer God all sorts of alternatives. You've all been in a healing meeting where God's been offered a series of alternatives according to how much faith you've got and what you believe in. So, you know, there'll be somebody in there who's looking for an out-and-out healing just now. There'll be somebody else who'll be praying for peace for the person to deal with where they're going. There'll somebody else who'll be looking for a long-term something happening tomorrow. And then there'll be other people who'll be telling God how wonderful this person is and therefore he ought to be healed. And that's just the four things I can think of. And, you know, if you just try and put yourself in God's position, which I know you can't, but you examine those things and you think, well, which one do you want me to do then? So somehow there's something enormous there, and we're just trying to get hold of God. We're trying to find him. But I tell you what, if we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, we'll find him. So if you begin thanking God for his goodness and his faithfulness and his generosity in a particular circumstance where you've, you know, I mean, if you're praying about some serious incident, there are still things you can thank God for because God is good all the time. So there will be things that you can thank God for. And there'll be a process. And if you start in that point, you find God. And then, rather than telling God what he ought to do and why, somehow or other, I feel we've got to get to the place where we discern what God actually is wanting to do. Now, that's my big problem, because it's not easy. Let me do a quick demonstration. Tom, would you do me a favour and come and sit on the front row, please? He's given me permission to do this. Well, I think he did. I mean, he didn't object. Now, Tom needs healing. We're not going to go into all the details. Tom's had an operation a few weeks ago, and by rights, by now, he should be up and running. But you're not running, are you, Tom? Now, he's better than he was yesterday, aren't you? Because yesterday, well, you were struggling to find anything, weren't you? But it's still tough. Now let's just consider. I want to apply what I've just said to Tom. Used him as a guinea pig. I hope you're comfortable. You're all right with this, aren't you, Tom? Yeah. I mean, wouldn't it be good if at the end of this you got healed? Oh, I was praying about it on my way, thinking, do I really believe that's what God's going to do? And I'm not sure. I've got to be honest, haven't I? But I want to see it. But I tell you what, let me demonstrate where I think we should start. We're going to start by thanking God for all sorts of things about Tom. Now, that is not, just let me make it clear before I do it, that is not so that God is so convinced he's a wonderful fella he's got to heal him. You see what I mean? You know, I'm not trying to rank it up so that God says, oh, is that good? Is he? We'll tick that one. Oh, yeah, he does that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll heal him. Just got past the bar. It's not like that. But this thanksgiving, what does this thanksgiving do? This thanksgiving reminds us of everything God's already done. And if he's done it once, he can do it again. All right, now Tom is in a stronger place in his own personal faith this morning than he was yesterday, aren't you? Yeah, I thought that, yeah. Now, it's not necessarily dependent on that. It probably helps. I don't know. Because faith's one of those peculiar things that I will eventually preach about rather than just refer to. But this is how I'm going to go, okay? Now, just join me with me. This is not just a demonstration. I'm actually praying here, okay? And I want you to be with me on this, okay? I'm going to shut my eyes so as I'm not looking at your faces, and particularly one or two who are grinning. So, Father, I thank you this morning for my good friend Tom. I thank you, Lord, for the fact that you chose to pull him out of worse circumstances than he's in today, to set him free and save him. I want to thank you, Lord, that you recognize all sorts of things in this man. You rescued him, and when he cried out to you and said, are you there, God? And if you are, will you change this? You did it. I can't remember the story very clearly, but I know you did it. And then, Lord, you put something in this man of a passion for those who don't yet know you. And particularly a passion for those who are less fortunate. People who remind him of himself. People who remind him of his own history. I want to thank you, Lord, that when you called him to come and be close to Kirkby, to live in the centre of where this church functions because you had a purpose for him, I want to thank you, Lord, you made it possible. It wasn't instant. You kept him on a faith track, but you provided for him, and you provided well for him, and you provided him a place to live where he's really content, where he's really blessed. And even though at times his work is precarious and I'd like to see you give him another job, nevertheless, you always watch over him. And although it's been a faith journey, you're always with him. And I want to thank you, Lord, that over these last few months, when some sickness took hold of him, you did eventually bring him through to the hospital point, and you did a successful operation was done upon him. But right now, Lord, right now, somehow or other there's infection strayed from that and it's causing him major trouble. And he's knocked on quite a few medical doors and they haven't produced the answer. So this morning, Lord, we're coming before you as a church, as his friends, with Tom's faith, with my faith, with the faith of your people. And we know, we've read our Bibles, Lord, we know that you're a healing God. We've read our Bibles, Lord, we know you're a powerful God. We know there's nothing here we're talking about that you can't do. That's not at issue. And we also know, Lord, that that's the sort of thing you do and you want to do. You're not holding out on Tom because he's done anything wrong. We know that. And therefore, Lord, we're going to pronounce healing upon him. And I want to ask, Lord, that that infection will be dealt with at a stroke. And Lord, as we function as, again, one of the ways the Bible tells us, I'm going to anoint him with oil. Because he's a man who's called us in and said, will you pray for me? So he's done what the Bible says. We're going to do what the Bible says. And we remind ourselves that the clear thing is, it says the prayer of righteous men and women availeth much. We'll see it happen. And so I'm going to simply anoint him with oil, Lord. And we're surrounding him with your blessing. And we believe you're giving us answers in this season of prayer. And so I simply say to you, Tom, in the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, infection be gone. In the name of Jesus, we say, body, come back into proper order. Kiana basu chana sarandarata. Koria habanasata. Let your healing fall on this man, God. There's a room full of people wanting to see this happen for Tom. That's not the reason, but we want to see your name honoured and glorified, and we want our faith levels raised, Lord. But chiefly, we're just asking, will you do this for Tom? Please, God. So we say, Tom, be healed in Jesus' name. Now, the next question has to be, have you felt anything? And has anything changed? It's all right, you're allowed to be honest, Tom. Okay, it's not my reputation that's on the line. Now, before this morning's out, I believe you're going to know God's done something. Okay? That's what my belief is, before we've gone from this place, when you've had your bacon roll. Okay? So, and we'll pray again if necessary. But I appreciate you letting me guinea pig you. But I'm believing for that. We'll pray again. I want to see it. You're allowed to sit where you like, Tom. Now, I'm just letting you in on what I'm discovering, really. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if Tom had leapt up there and said, whoa! Well, it would, wouldn't it? Yeah. And I was driving down thinking it just could. And it hasn't yet. Now, I want to get to a place where I know. I don't mind looking a fool. It's just as well, really, isn't it? But there's got to be a way forward. Are you with me? And I want, this is not, you know, I'm not talking about the things we do on the front row of church on a regular basis. I'm thinking God wants to see this happen. I will make a confession before you, so it's a safe Kirsty telling you all, though I know she's told you quite a lot of you already. Yesterday, Kirsty, praying before the event on the park, sent me a text. In text speak, it said essentially, Graham, today's the day for a miracle. It may not be a Tesco's queue, it's on the park. Then at the end of the afternoon, she said to me, Graham, have you had your miracle? I had to confess I'd forgotten to look for it. But then I told her the event where she said, well, that was it. Because there's one particular person who didn't used to like me because of neighbourhood management or something. Thank you, dear. Don't need that. And I was chatting with this particular lady and we were sharing cancer stories. And she's got a serious condition. And she was telling me about it. And Kirsty wanted to know why I didn't offer to pray for her. And to be perfectly honest, it was a reasonable question. I should have done. So I am guilty as charged. But I want to see it happen. On there. Okay. And I don't just want it for me. Come on. I've got to be so careful. I felt challenged as I drove down here. I felt, now, am I looking to prove myself? You know, am I looking to demonstrate that Graham's got it? Well, I hope not. Because I'm actually, you know, I'd be just as thrilled if somebody else goes up to Tom after this meeting and says, Tom, be healed in Jesus' name, and it happens. I'd be really excited. I was listening to something, can't remember where now, but someone was saying that one of the essence of being a father, natural or spiritual, is that you're dead keen that your sons and daughters will do better than you did. So, you know, I'm not, you know, if it isn't me, I don't care, I think. I also want to just mention, just before I wind some of these things up, there is an enemy. In Luke chapter 22, I noticed this the other day, just after the Last Supper, Jesus says to his disciples, though he addresses this particularly to Simon, not Peter, Simon, though it is Simon Peter, but he goes for Simon with his old name, not his new name, and he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. Now, in other words, that means that Satan can ask permission to sift you and me. He can ask permission to give you and me a hard time, and sometimes he does get it. I don't understand all of that, but the Bible's got a few incidences, and here's one where Jesus seems to suggest that permission was given that the disciples should be sifted, should be, you know, given a bit of a hard time. And if you look at the hard times some of them had, James was beheaded fairly early. And then Peter was in prison shortly afterwards, and everybody, you remember the big prayer meeting going on? Please let Peter out, but when he knocks on the door, they can't believe it's there because they all thought he was heading down the same track. They reckon Paul was executed. There's some fairly unpleasant stories about some of these guys. So, you know, if they didn't get it all, I've got to say, why should I? There is an enemy who still has rights in this era. We know ultimately he's already defeated, don't we? But he still fights on, and this passage seems to suggest that at times God may allow him to challenge us and put difficulties in our way. That's why we need to know what to pray, because sometimes we need to be praying, God, will you lift this pressure from that particular source? And sometimes there are times when things are delayed. You read the story of Daniel and you find a good example there. So I'm still left with problems. You see, I'm still left with a problem when we've just prayed with Tom. Is that a request that, going back to my first scriptures, is me asking God to heal Tom something that pleases Jesus? Well, of course it is. Jesus hasn't got anything against me praying for Tom, has he? So I can't use that one. I've got a problem there. Have we not asked in Jesus' name? Well, I did say it several times, didn't I? Why did I say it? I said it because the authority that I was seeking to use was his authority and not mine. That's what I'm believing for. I think I fulfilled that one. If you have faith and don't doubt, well, okay. Tom and I might not have come right up to the mark on faith. It's possible, isn't it? But It doesn't sound like God to me, does it, you? That there's a bar somewhere and we didn't quite make it, so therefore. And there were plenty of reasons in my prayer why God should heal Tom, but that wasn't the reason. So, how should we pray? I haven't solved all your problems this morning, have I? But I hope what I've done is I've been honest enough to let us realise it is okay to be honest in our pursuit of faith and our pursuit of seeing these things happen. I'm going to declare some things I believe in a moment. Because you see, I think we should always begin recognising that God is our Father and with thanksgiving. It says in my notes here, acting the prophetic here. This friend of mine wanted to see me during the week, Nick did. Now, when people want to see me, do you know what I always think? I think, what have I done wrong? I do. That's stupid, isn't it, really? Would you say that's stupid, John? Stupid. Nick says it's stupid. Nick didn't come to tell me what was wrong. He came to encourage me. He asked me if I would sing this morning, just because he felt there's something about what God's done with me in the past that can make a difference for you lot. But you see, I want to, and so it said in my notes, acting the prophetic here. I don't quite know what that means. But Nick, I want to say to you that God is going to use you more and more as an encourager. You hear him clearly. It's almost as though there are times when you can't hear what's around you in the natural so that you can hear him in the spiritual. And I believe that he's got some things in store for you to hear that are going to make a difference. The things I've just described, I believe some people he gives a clearer hearing capacity to than others. Because we're part of a body. He's not going to do it for every single person. You're one of those. And I appreciated your encouragement for me the other day, but I just want to say, I believe you're going to be more and more of an encourager, both inside and outside of the church, and you're going to be one who hears. There are people who hear. John, you are going to be one of these people who hears. You're going to hear what God wants to do, and when you hear what God wants to do, you get so bold. It's going to increase. But what I've seen is that the partnership between you two will make it work better. Because you see, the heart of compassion that Ruth's got and the way she sees behind what's happening, put it together with what you hear and your faith growing together as a couple, you will see things happen. You will see things happen. I believe when you two go to America, I know it's always been in your heart to pray and to see things happen. And I actually do believe that part of God's plan, though it's round the first corner, there are going to be some miracles. There are going to be some miracles. But what I say to us as a church is I believe these things. You see, I'm still looking for an answer. Let me just fill this in first. Hebrews 11 has this great statement about faith. And it's a long list of people. And it says that most of them were still looking for the promise when they died. There were things promised to them, but they never got the whole thing. And indeed, the second half of the chapter is about folk who got something seriously less than what they were believing for. Doesn't say, therefore, they weren't people of faith. So there's just another conundrum there. See, I'm left in my own personal position where a doctor tells me I'm ill. Now, you know, I don't feel ill. I don't look ill, I don't behave ill most of the time. And even when I feel a bit weary, most folks say it's because you're getting old. But the figures that come out aren't quite what they're supposed to be, according to a doctor. And I thought to myself, well, I suppose if they'd just come out happy, then I could have taken a regular 12-weekly injection and thought, well, everything's going to be fine. It's all down to that injection. So I'm challenged with a faith thing that says, well, even though the numbers aren't quite right, I'm still believing God. Now, you know, I've read stories of people who've done that, and they've believed God and believed God. I've told you before of a lady who, for 18 years, every time she went to the doctor, she was told she was suffering from Crohn's disease, but she always went to the prayer meeting on a week by week, and they were always asking for healing. And actually, she was never affected by this disease, which we know is a really nasty one. She ate normally, she behaved normally, but every year they said, yeah, you've got Crohn's disease and it's really bad. And then after 18 years, she went back and they said, oh, you haven't got Crohn's disease. I can't explain it. I don't know. There are other cases, you know. Take our good friend Rich Hubbard. You know, I believe he believed he was going to be healed, didn't he? I think that's right. That's what I was told. And then he's not. Now, if anybody had a major contribution to make to the development of the Christian church in this country, Rich was one of those people. He was only a young man. What was he, what, 51? It's young in my book. And actually, I found it quite tough when I got my diagnosis a few days after he died. And then I went to his funeral. It wasn't easy. I haven't got explanations for all these things, but I do believe we're supposed to be people of faith. Here's what I believe. I believe we are intended to see many more miracles in the next few months and years. Something is beginning to happen in this country. Alan Vincent, guy I've referred to before, says it was always much easier to believe for a miracle in India because illness brought a measure of desperation, because if God didn't heal, there was no doctor around the corner. God intends us somehow to become more desperate for his spirit to be released, and that will lead to a much greater level of believing prayer. I believe we are to see far more people saved and turn into Christ as their saviour in this next season. But I believe it will come as we pray in faith and confidence and persistence, which will overcome the enemy's wiles. I believe we all need to be filled with Holy Spirit and praying in the Spirit, which I believe means two things. We will know through the Holy Spirit what it is God intends to do, and we will pray that. I believe we've got to get to that point. That's one of my goals. Instead of chattering on when I'm praying, I'm trying to get to that place where I can sit and listen and work out what God's saying. And the other thing about praying in the Holy Spirit, I'm still utterly convinced that the gift of speaking in tongues is for all those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, because it enables you to pray when your mind can't work it out. And that is truly remarkable. There's something bypasses your mind. Your mind's important. God's renewing your mind, don't get me wrong. But there's something that stirs up what God has done inside you that can be declared. And it's a gift, and it's an equipping that we all do need, and I personally do believe it's available to all who ask. The Bible seems to me to indicate it's there. It is a gift, but we can ask God for it. And I believe there will be times when it will appear that we have not yet received the answer, even when we are confident that God has released a declaration. Suffering does not mean that God has not heard us. There will continue to be things we do not understand. I'm sorry, but I believe that's true. There could be things that happen. I'm going to speak on in faith and believing. And by the way, you're all welcome. I'm dependent on prayer, I believe. And there's a number of strategies God's given us. And the last Sunday in virtually every month, there's a number of people come from other churches to join us here at 7:30 to pray just for me. And I tell you what, I know it makes a difference. I know it makes a difference. But I don't want you ever, should it not turn out how I expect, to begin to think God's not good. Because God is good all the time. And you may not have an explanation for what happens. I'm still going to be, I've got to go on believing what I believe God said to me. But could be wrong. So I want to encourage us to pray this way. Let's enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Let's not leap in, but listen. And let's try to hear what God is actually saying and doing, and then begin to pray that. And some of the things we already know he wishes to do, let's ask him to do them. Let's not spend too much time asking him to do what he's already done. So we know God longs to save folk. So there's no reason why we shouldn't be praying for the folk around us and saying, God, draw them to yourself. It will be their choice. He's not going to force people. But there is a certain something that makes a difference. So I want to encourage us to be a stronger and stronger praying people. Not because I've told you how it works and therefore you'll always get the answers you want. but because there's something deeply spiritual about it that's so much wrapped up in the heart of God that as we know him better, something will emerge and we will draw close to him. That's why we need to know he's our Father. We draw close to him. Okay?